Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. You're listening to the Greg Laurie Podcast, and my objective is to deliver, hopefully, compelling practical insights in faith, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. To find out more about our ministry, just go to our website, harvest.org. So thanks for joining me for this podcast. We're going through those essential things that every Christian needs to know. And we're in a section now where we're talking about Bible prophecy. This is one subject people always want to hear about. And it seems like no matter how much you teach on it, people still have questions, and more questions. So we're going to try to answer some of those questions. So I want you to welcome a man who knows quite a bit about this subject, our friend Don Stewart. Don, come on out. A couple of books we want to bring to your attention. Don has just written a brand new book called The Rapture on the topic of the rapture. Don, was this hard to come up with this title?
It took a long time to come up with that title.
The Rapture.
The Rapture.
So we're going to talk about this quite a bit.
Yeah.
Here's a book that Don did a while back. It's I Know Greek and You Don't, Don Stewart. Okay. Why did you pick such an arrogant title for a book?
Well, Greg, I just follow you and your lead, you know. I look at all your books and what can
Actually, we mocked this up in our design department. This book does not exist. It's a joke.
It does now. I've got it. Okay. What am I bid for this?
That's your copy. Have fun.
Thank you.
Okay, let's come back to that subject of the rapture.
Okay.
What is the rapture? We've already dealt with it, but just kind of quick, give me a quick definition. Oh, okay, here's an argument. Well, you know, the word rapture is not found in the Bible. And therefore, this is something that people made up. Well, is that true? Is the word rapture found in the Bible?
I'm looking at it right now. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are living and remaining till the coming of the Lord will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In this manner, we shall always be with the Lord. Here it is, Greg.
Yes. I'm just posing questions. No, wait, what is that? Latin?
That's Latin, yeah. It's a
so
Latin word.
So if you're reading a Latin translation, it's the word rapturus?
No, well, more or less. It's a verb. Repare, it's a verb. It means to snatch, catch away. That we made it a noun, the rapture, but it means to, you know, forcibly.
But it comes
catch away.
To the original word, is it harpazo?
Harpazo, very good. Yeah.
That's because you read Greek.
Yeah, and the Greek that's right here that I read. You want to hold that up to the camera?
Okay. Yes. Okay, so the rapture is a catching away of people to meet the Lord. Okay, here's one person on Facebook asked me this question. I said they could ask us questions. She says, I'm confused about post and pre-tribulation rapture. Both sides have a good argument. Which one should I believe? So what are the different views that Christians hold on the topic of the rapture, including some who would say there is no rapture?
Yeah, there's actually seven of them that good Christians hold.
These are in your book, aren't they?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all responded to.
Yeah.
The first one, there is no rapture.
Yes.
The second one is called the partial rapture theory, and that is only...
Only part of your body goes up or something?
No. Only, well, literally,
like your head, you know?
Yeah, only part of the body of Christ goes up. That's true. Yeah. Partial rapture, only the spiritual Christians.
Yeah.
And then those that believe all the Christians go up, you've got those that believe the pre-trib view.
Yeah.
Okay, that's view number three.
So before the tribulation.
Before the tribulation, the mid-trib, halfway through, that's next view. There's a new view called the pre-wrath, which is basically three-quarters of the way through, or 18 months through the last 7 years.
Yes.
Then there's the post-trib view at the end of the 7 years. So you got four views within the last 7 years people believe. And the last view says, the Bible teaches the rapture, but we don't have enough evidence to know when it is.
Yeah.
Now, what I've done, I've looked at all of them. And Greg, let me tell you, this is, just give you a little bit of background. When I wrote this basically 10 years ago. I was doing a course, I was living in Australia at the time. I spent 6 months looking at everything, best arguments I could
and
find.
And you approached it, I remember hearing you say, objectively.
Well, I tried
to. In other words, okay, what is the Bible really saying about this?
Yeah, because actually, I'd never really gone into great detail in this in the past. I always believed pre-trib, but okay, well, if I'll let the chips fall where they may, I've come up with something different, fine. I came to the conclusion that pre-trib is not only the correct answer, all of the others have fatal arguments that they can't work. They just don't work for many, many reasons. The post-trib, the mid-trib, the pre-wrath, the partial rapture, the no-rapture idea have, problems that you can't really answer and deal with. And so the pre-trib has issues, but every question has a legitimate, reasonable answer. The others do not. And so that's why I was more and more convinced I am every day that that's the correct view.
So make a case right now for the pre-tribulation rapture. And let's preface it by saying We believe that there are good believers that hold different views. This is not what we would call an essential for salvation.
No.
You know, what is that expression in essentials, unity, and non-essentials,
something's charity.
Liberty, and then in all things charity.
Exactly.
So in the essentials, like the death of Christ, his resurrection from the dead, the authority of Scripture, those are essentials.
Correct.
We don't deviate.
Yeah.
But when we come to the rapture, okay, if you hold a pre-trib, a mid-trib view, we say, hey, we can still be brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we just happen to believe in a pre-tribulation
rapture.
So tell me why we believe that.
Okay, for a number of reasons. Number one, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says we're waiting for the Son to come out of heaven, who will save us from the wrath to come. Now, 1 Thessalonians was the first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that we know of chronologically, waiting for the Son to come who will save us from the coming wrath. Well, what's the coming wrath he's talking about? We believe is his final 7-year period.
Yeah.
And then that same letter he writes, 4 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians, about the catching up of believers, all right, the rapture of the church. And then in 5:9, he says, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation or deliverance through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So he begins the letter by saying we're going to be escaping this coming wrath.
Right.
He tells us in 4:13 through 18 how we're going to escape. Then he punctuates it again at the end saying he hasn't appointed us to wrath because, see, Greg, Revelation 6 through 18 is the wrath of God. This is God's judgment on the earth. And if we're not appointed to wrath, we don't need to be there, and we're not going to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
So, amen to that one? You like guys like that? Okay, good. That's it. Yeah.
So, and really, is there any precedent in the Bible for God's wrath when he was judging people like Sodom and Gomorrah?
Take it.
Or like the flood?
Noah, exactly.
Did God judge his people with the other people, or did he deliver his
people? He delivered his people. And again, like in the days of Noah at the ark, Sodom and Gomorrah, he got Lot and his family out of Sodom. And so there's that precedent that is set there, because this is, again, this last 7-year period is the wrath of God on the world who has been a Christ-rejecting world. Yeah. It's going to be a time of tremendous trouble like the world has never seen before. And that's why we have not been appointed to wrath again, so we're not going to be here.
What happens to babies and small children at the rapture?
Okay, 1 Corinthians 7:14 says the children of believers will go with them, because let's say you're a Christian and you've got a spouse who's a Christian, or even a spouse who's a non-Christian, your children who are below any age of accountability will go with the rapture for a couple
of reasons.
And
we don't know when the age of accountability
is. It's different for every person. Yeah. But face it, Greg, it wouldn't be much of a blessed hope if the parents went and their young kids were left behind, would it?
Absolutely.
No. And so, in some sense, we set apart to sanctify our children by having a Christian in the family. Sure. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 7. And so the children of believers, yes. Now, of unbelievers, don't know. We don't know on that.
We certainly don't have an assurance.
No, we do not.
We as believers can say, no, we know we're going to go.
Exactly.
We know our children are going to go that are before the age of accountability. But if even our children whom we love, if they just were older and flat out rejected Christ, well, we can't be assured. You know,
not at all.
Certainly not that they would go.
Nope.
So what happens if a believer is in a backslidden state and the rapture takes place?
They're taken.
You think so?
I know so. 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Right.
Who were the Corinthians? One of the most carnal churches going. But they are in Christ.
Sometimes that book could be translated as First Californians.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. The First Californians. Yeah, the cruddy Corinthians and the cruddy Californians.
Yeah.
That's true. They had every sin imaginable within the church. Yet when Paul gets to chapter 15, he said, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. If you're in Christ, you're going to be changed.
Interesting thing, too. I mean, we talked about Lot. And the Bible even calls him righteous Lot.
Yeah, he does.
Remember, when you read his account in Genesis, and those guys come to his door, and he's being visited by angels, and the people are saying, send him out so we can have sex with them.
Yeah.
And Lot says, here, take my virgin daughters.
Exactly,
you've never known him. And it's like, hey, I'm glad I'm not Lot's daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so he was a compromiser.
Very much
but yet he's declared righteous.
Yes, yeah.
That doesn't justify compromise or sin.
No, it doesn't.
But what it does say is God's grace and love is massive.
It is. Because let's remember something, Greg. According to Proverbs 6:16, the sin that God hates most is pride. And, you know, what if someone's got a proud look when the rapture comes? And a lot of people will be left behind with that, but they're not going to be. All changed.
Here's a question that's texted. After the rapture, can you still change your mind and be saved? Okay, so here I am. I rejected Christ. Rapture happens.
You did?
I'm
sorry.
I'm putting myself in the position of someone who would say, so, you know, now all my Christian friends are gone, and I realize they were all right and it was all true. how do I get saved? Because some people will say, well, you know, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is taken off the earth during the tribulation period, but that isn't true, is it?
No, not at all, because how can people get saved without the work of the Holy Spirit?
Exactly.
It's going to start with zero, but there'll be a multitude of people saved. And actually, Revelation 6 talks about these souls under the altar who were slain for the testimony of Christ during this period. Yeah. There'll be a great revival during this time. The problem is many people have to pay with their lives, but they will come to Christ. And a lot of them probably be churchgoers, people who've gone to church, who've listened to like what we're saying tonight, and hopefully it's none of you. They think, well, when it happens, then I'll change and I'll believe in Jesus. Yeah. Well, you don't know if you'll even be around at that time. Like many people want to, you know, repent at the 11th hour. They die at 10:30. They don't even get the chance. And so the point is, now is the day of salvation. But there'll be people believing. In fact, multitudes will believe in Christ.
Maybe some people think, well, as soon as I hear that trumpet, I'll pray really fast. You better be really fast. Because it's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's not even the blinking of an eye.
No, the twinkling of it, before it even blinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Right. Now, you know, we hear the rapture, the second coming, the coming of the Lord. Sometimes people get confused because on one hand we read about he comes like a thief in the night, you know. Then we read, every eye will see him.
Right.
As the lightning shines from the east to the west, says our Lord, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So are we talking about two events or one event here?
Two specific comings in the Lord. The first time is for the church, taking us back to heaven to be rewarded. The second is with the church coming back to the earth. So there's two comings of the Lord. The rapture of the church, and then when the resurrection of the dead happens of the believers in Christ, and then 7 years later, he comes back with us. We come back with him to set up his kingdom. Now, there's passages that speak of the rapture. Every time it speaks of the rapture, it's only believers it talks about. It's only blessings. The second coming passages are all passages of judgment. There's two distinct comings of the Lord. They are different enough to see two distinct comings. Then when you put the totality of Scripture together, it only makes sense that it only fits. He comes before the last seven years for the church, comes back with the church at the end.
That's right. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints.
Yep.
And that's us.
Yep, sure is.
So you're going to get that Holy Land tour.
Yep.
Led by Jesus.
Amen. Landing on the Mount of Olives, by the way, too.
Yeah, that's right. Sure. So this shows the importance of what you believe about end times events. Because we can say, well, this doesn't matter at all. We said it's not an essential for salvation, but it is still important, isn't it?
It's really important because the way we live our lives, Greg, is based upon what we think is going to happen in the future. If we think Christ can come at any moment, we're going to be ready at any moment. But what if we think he can't come for 3.5 years, 5.5 years, or 7 years? I don't know about you, but if I thought, well, I got a little bit of time, you know, isn't human nature like you've got a test or a paper to do, you wait till the last minute. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got time to repent, to believe. And so the Bible says now is the day of salvation.
That's right.
Christ said he's going to come at a time we think not. We always have to be ready. And that's why the imminency of Christ's coming is so, so very important.
Yeah, the scripture says, he that has a soul purifies himself, even as he is pure. It has a purifying effect when you know Christ could come back. And I think when you're walking with God, you love it. You embrace it. It's like, hey, Jesus is coming back. And it's like John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Indeed.
But I think when you're not walking with God as you ought to, and you hear this message, Christ could come back at any time, could kind of freak you out a little bit, couldn't it?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time freak.
And so it should.
It should, yes. Because will you be ready?
Yeah. So how does a person prepare themselves for the rapture? In other words, how can a person listening right now be certain that when the rapture comes, and if it indeed happens in our lifetime, how can we know we'll be one of those people caught up to meet the Lord?
There's only one way they can know, and they can know, according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Yeah. He that has the Son of God has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 5, 13, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life if you believe in the name of the only begotten Son. So a person, Greg, right now, anywhere watching us, listening to us, anywhere in the world, can know they have eternal life at this moment by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if the rapture of the church would come tonight, or they would go to meet the Lord tonight, they would die tonight, they would know they're going to heaven.
That's right. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
So these are amazing things that we're talking about here. And the main thing is we want to be ready to meet the Lord. So we want to make it possible for those people to make that commitment to Christ. So Don, just maybe give us in a nutshell, What is the gospel? We use the word a lot, gospel, gospel. What is the gospel?
The gospel simply stated is this, Greg, in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. He appeared to many people.
Yeah.
In other words, he was seen at one place dead. A few days later, he was alive again, and he is alive forevermore, and he earlier on Calvary's cross took the penalty of the sins of the world upon himself. So if we believe in him, we trust that he died in our place so we can have eternal life. So the gospel is basically accepting what Christ has done on our behalf, dying as our substitute, dying in our place so we don't have to suffer. The righteous suffered for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. That's in a nutshell the gospel.
Yeah. So as you're listening right now, maybe you've never made that commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And listen, we want all of you to be ready to meet the Lord. And, you know, and we may not be raptured. Look, one way or the other, if you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. There's two basic modes of transportation. One will be death, and your spirit will leave your body, and you go to heaven. Or it could be the rapture, and you won't see death at all. But the way to secure this is by having that relationship with God. And if you've never asked Christ to come into your life, if you're not sure right now, if you were to die, you would go to heaven. If you don't have the confidence that you're ready for the rapture, then I want to give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. So why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Father, I pray that as we've had this discussion, people would realize this is not fantasy. These are not fairy tales. This is the future because you've said it and you live in the eternal realm and you can speak of the future as accurately as we would speak of the past. In fact, even more accurately, because we forget things, but you never do. So when you say something's gonna happen, that can be taken to the bank. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince any person that needs to come to you to do so right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. Thanks for listening to our podcast. And to learn more about Harvest Ministries, please subscribe and consider supporting this show. Just go to harvest.org. And by the way, if you want to find out how to come into a personal relationship with God, go to knowgod.org. That's K-N-O-W-G-O-D.org.